Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Hello, it's Blog Talk Radio Show on Inner Sight, and I am doing the show this evening because Frank is not here, and we're also doing it with Anthony. Give me a moment, and I will have Anthony on the line shortly. I've been kind of busy today, and I didn't tell him what show we're doing, but we're going to do something on how, you know, basically we're, you know, pushed aside and mental illness and disability. You know, I'm going to be typing this in. Oh, hold on, it's too loud. Basically disability and mental illness, you know, play a role with disability. I really feel it's very important. And then there's also, you have something that I found disturbing, and Frank told me about it. It was about Johnson & Johnson and medication, and about they're being sued for plenty of, you know, medication and stuff like that. And I see Anthony, and I'm going to bring him in. Here he is. Hey,
hi,
Anthony.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you? Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, everybody. So I thought it would be really interesting if we spoke about how the system, okay, really, you know, pushes the disabled to mental illness, and how, you know, what our plan is, and how it could, you know, avoid this mental illness, and how we can, you know, try and get people to have a rich and fulfilling life with our plan, and not with the way they want to do it. So that's where I was thinking we'd go with this tonight. What do you think?
Right. Yeah, well, I don't have a problem with that. We can definitely do a topic on this tonight.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you. You know, everything about the way our society runs, as far as the way they see things, their perception, and the way they treat the disabled, you know, is push them aside. Disabled people are to be seen and not heard kind of attitude. And, you know, when a person goes through things in life, has, you know, issues, I think that sometimes psychiatrists are, you know, quick to want to put the disabled on medication, and I think that sometimes disabled people might have, you know, a different way of expressing their emotion than a person who's not disabled, and, you know, they might be more sensitive due to their disability. And, you know, the psychiatrists just don't understand that. And, you know, a lot of psychiatrists also don't understand what people go through in life. And, you know, some of the issues that disabled people face, you know, might seem petty to a person who's not disabled because they don't understand. And, you know, that is kind of the way it is. And, it's a shame. And, you know, you were talking about how, you know, the issues that disabled people can, you know, go through in life can cause mental illness and depression and things like that. And I totally agree with you. Everything from being in the nursing home to not having a wheelchair that you need, because, you know, people might, you know, just say, oh, you know, they should get over it. They're adults. They need to learn to live with it. That's a part of life.
Please.
You have to accept that. And,
no, that is,
you know,
a part of life. That was what, not what we subscribed to, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's something totally, you know, uncalled for. You don't have to belittle or even, you know, push somebody aside. I find that to be very disturbing. I don't know about you, but very, very disturbing. I mean, I don't know. It just to my roots, you know.
Right. I do. And wheelchairs are disabled people's legs. I mean, you know, when you deal with these wheelchair companies and these insurance companies that take forever to get people the things that they need, and then sometimes deny a disabled person a wheelchair because they'll make an excuse that the doctors haven't given enough of a justification as to why a person with a disability who's had a disability all their life needs a wheelchair. I mean, it's appalling and outrageous. And, you know, disabled people are likely to be depressed because of isolation, of, like you said, being pushed aside by society, pushed aside by their family members, told, you know, you could just stay home with the aide. I can't push your chair. You can't get around. I really don't think you'd enjoy yourself, or I just don't think it's a good idea. I can't handle it, you know, or it's just too much for me. And oftentimes, you know, people with disabilities can be depressed because they're forced to go in a facility against their will, you know.
Right.
The first thing that a lot of family members think about when, you know, a person gets older and, you know, they need care, you know, or they become disabled in some form or fashion is automatically a nursing home. And,
right.
I mean, I firmly believe in home care. I always have and always will.
Yeah,
but
everybody does.
Yeah, but I feel that, you know, home care is becoming
obsolete.
I don't know. You could say obsolete or old-fashioned or not even thought of, or like the idea of having a home care worker in people's houses, you know, is becoming smaller and smaller in number. And those of us who deal with it, you know, or want it, you could say, are becoming a dying breed because family members just say, oh, I'm not going to have, you know, no lady coming and sitting in my house every day. I need my privacy. I need my life. I need my this. I need my that. And, you know, in some way I understand them because I wouldn't want to deal with, you know, with what a lot of people are subjected to dealing with. I mean, let's face it, you're elderly, you're sickly, you're on medication, and, you know, you need help.
Let me say something, okay? Now, I'm going to interject on that, okay? Here's what, you wouldn't be as bad, okay? That's my opinion, okay? You would be much well-served at home. And also, if you're served by, say, I don't know how to explain this, but like a service, I would call it a service, that would come to the homes, and every home has to be accessible. Every single, there should be no reason in this day and age why every home can't be accessible or made to be accessible, number one, always, not only wheelchairs, not only, you know, it should be where you could even put things that you see, you know, where people could see things, everything that you need should be there, you know.
Well,
and not only that, when a person gets older, okay, now you've got, you know, like you said, a sick and older person, it doesn't mean that this sick and older person needs to go automatically into a nursing home. That I honestly don't agree with, because
right.
if you've got somebody who is sick, okay, they have the right and the decency to be in their own home to the day they die.
Right. I agree with you 100% on that, but I'll, you know, say something here that's probably controversial and going to offend some people, and that is that, you know, this is Inner Sight, so we can speak our mind freely here, and we can agree to disagree, and, you know,
still
love each other in the end. I think that, you know, Army veterans are treated better, and, you know, I understand that they sacrifice.
Oh, I agree that.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I understand that they've sacrificed their life for this country, and a lot of them come back with mental illness, you know,
oh,
and
yeah,
you know, they've lost limbs and things like that, and people will say that, you know, they...
When you're done.
That, you know, they get lousy insurance, and only, you know, their widows get some money out of, you know, their death from, you know, from them being in the army and things like that. And, you know, why is it that the government can, you know, make sure that they're built smart homes and everything can be accessible for them, and they'll build something from the ground up for them, and everything, even
I know
things
why.
That you wouldn't imagine, you know, can be built and made, will be made and done for them. You know, everyone else who's a regular American
I know
citizen.
Why,
Suzanne?
They're the guinea pigs. They are.
Yeah.
They really are.
They were, what?
You know why?
Because like,
I used to work for the VA. That's how I know.
Yeah, but so, but I mean, what is our government saying that a person has to have one of their limbs blown off in order to, you know, get an accessible place to live? Because you know, where is all the rest of us supposed to live? I mean, they have to, you know that people are living in places that are not accessible for them. I mean, when I was a child, Suzanne, and I think I told this story to you guys about how I had surgery and I lived in a basement apartment and, you know, they didn't want to give my mom a home health aid for me because they said I was going back to school. And, you know, I never had an accessible place to live, and she, you know, was put in a difficult situation because if I wasn't able to get out of the wheelchair and hold on, you know, to the gate or, you know, banister or whatever was there, then, I mean, it was a gate, but we'll just say banister in most people's cases, you know, because that's what they would use, because it was kind of an awkward thing. You had to walk down the stairs sideways. But if I wasn't able to do that, how would I have made it in and out of my apartment? And they give you this big jalopy wheelchair, you know, this big oversized wheelchair. Yeah, that, you know.
No, you know why? Because I had the same jalopy wheelchair. That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah, this thing was like, was so old-fashioned looking. They had to get a like the size of a tractor trailer to, you know, to take it out of the big truck and deliver it to me. And I was like 8 years old and going to fit in this big thing. And my aunt was trying to push me.
You couldn't push it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I, you know, and I said to myself, "What a life! What a life! What a life!" You know, I just don't.
And they
understand
wonder
it.
Why
I mean,
the disabled are sad and depressed. There you go.
Yeah,
that's it, right there.
I mean, because
you don't give them a wheelchair that fits them properly. You don't give them the ideal environment to go in and out of their own home to be with their family.
Yeah, they don't give us anything, and you know, there's like you would almost feel like these programs are being hidden and secret, and only for those who are privileged, you know, and you know, like I said. You know, you're gold to the world if you're rich, and they kiss your ass.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, I tell you one thing. There is, you know, something that makes me feel good. Okay.
Uh huh.
That.
What is that?
We, as the disabled, are trying real hard to stick together and get all the disabled together, and that's the only thing that gives me the light at the end of the tunnel to continue and to fight.
Right, and
really.
At least we care about each other, and we're interested, and we have the same passion, Suzanne, but why is it that we have to fight for every little thing? You know,
it's horrible, yeah.
What made the government think that, you know, we wanted to spend the rest of our life being our own social worker? And, you know, dealing with all these agencies and, you know, being referred to this and referred to that. And, you know, it's, I don't know, there's just something about it that irritates me. I mean,
oh, it irritates me too. Oh God.
Oh, you don't know. It makes my blood pressure go up.
I remember. Oh my. I remember this one time I was screaming at the top of my lungs at a Medicaid social worker, literally. And I was young. I was really young. I was driving my vehicle. This is how young I was because I was able to see. And I was driving my vehicle that I had, and I was on my way, I think, where was I on my way to? Oh, back from work and going, I think, to meet somebody at a shopping center. And I had to pull on the side of the road because I was screaming so much. She would not understand that I needed something. And I was screaming. I finally got to the point that I had to scream.
And, you know, that's what our life is like. You know, and almost everything you deal with, people have to scream or feel like they have to scream or have been screaming all their life. You know, I'm surprised that we haven't all gone completely hoarse where we can't communicate anymore. Then, you know, would the government pay for, you know, voice communication devices for us? Because, I mean, you know, every time you need an hour more of home care, you have to scream. If you need a wheelchair, you have to scream. You know, a simple thing like a seatbelt. We'll see if we can get you a seatbelt. Like, you know,
okay, no problem. We'll do it right away. No.
Yeah, like we're asking for Christmas toys. I mean, nothing's ever simple.
It's like they think it's like a. You're asking for luxury items. Well, it's free. Luxury item. It ain't a luxury item. I'll tell you what's luxury. give me a gold wheelchair. Now that's luxury now. Okay.
Gold
wheelchair.
just give us one of those buttons that, you know, open trunk doors that we can open our apartment door with our wheelchair for, you know? You could turn on our wheelchair automatically, ding, 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 you know, and turn it on and off. I mean, it's totally, totally ridiculous to me the way that we live. I mean, you call these agencies and you ask for help, and you would think that, you know, they would work on things in advance and plan for it, so when they don't, you know, when they run into the problem, they don't have a crisis like a home health aid agency. You call them on a Monday and you tell them you need somebody for the weekend, and they know every weekend they're going to have problems getting somebody, but they never bother getting anybody.
They don't do it ahead of time. That'd be logical, but...
That makes too much sense. But then they figure that those problematic aides are going to call out anyway, you know, so they'll call them last minute and say, oh, do you want to go to this one or that one? But if, God forbid, you complain about, you know, that person that's been doing that for 45 years, doing that to you, and you need care, then, you know, you can't keep changing your aid. You can't keep this. You can't keep that, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, sometimes I've dealt with these wheelchair vendors with our favorite company that, you know, we used to work with that
we both love.
Has now, gone out of business.
Over, and that my insurance doesn't cover. And now my wheelchair is null and void with the warranty. Isn't that lovely, too?
Right. And it just sits there, you know, like a car that can't be fixed. And, you know, remember, guys, that this is somebody's legs. This is how they get out, and this is how they survive.
It's our legs.
And the
people
world just think
that
it's nothing. And, of course, we're just going to be told to get over it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Everything in life, we have to get over it, get over it, get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being told that constantly obviously would, you know, cause someone go crazy, go bananas, and, you know, drive you literally up the wall. I'm not saying that it should drive you to drink. We're not encouraging that. But,
some people do. some people are driven to anesthetize themselves. And it's sad. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, if you really need something, Suzanne, that bad, you don't know how to live without it. You know, people have an emotional attachment to their wheelchair the same way they have an emotional attachment to pets and to human being caregivers that they have, you know, because they survive.
I know for a fact that I had a stay in a nursing home, quote, and I'm putting quotes around this, long term for a little bit, because I did not have accessibility in my home where I'm living now. And that was really, really horrible. I mean, I just wanted to cry. I did not want to stay in here any longer. I wanted
and
to just leave.
Yeah. And what would happen to those who don't have accessibility and are not going to be able to get it for whatever reason? They have to be, you know,
they have to stay there.
Yeah, they have to be trapped in a nursing home for the rest of their life. And
well,
there's nothing anybody can do. So think, everybody think of this, you know, whole scenario. So you wind up in a nursing home because your place isn't accessible. And then all you do is just lay in the bed, or if you're lucky enough, you go to the you'll go to the recreation room, and you pretty much, you know, will be neglected like hell in there, and you know, you will just waste away until you die, because basically, if you are the kind of person who is able to get out of bed and go to the bathroom, they're not going to want to be bothered with that, and they're going to treat you like everybody else, and then you're going to have bed sores, and you know, they're going to tell you that they don't have
not
staff
only that,
like that.
I remember 2 weeks not being showered. 2 weeks.
Can you imagine that, ladies?
2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
because they couldn't decide. This room was on the corner of this area. And I was just doing, you know, the normal sponge beds, and they were just doing wiping the, excuse me, butt type of thing.
Right.
And I was not wanting to hear that anymore. So I just, like, flipped out on them. So what I did is I had my wheelchair brought to me, right? So I was like, okay, we're going to have some fun tonight. I'm taking my own shower in this room no matter what. And it was my room alone. It was private. Thank God I could do this. I went into the bathroom, and the bathroom had a shower. I closed the door, and I locked it.
Oh, wow. You know they didn't like that. Oh, you're not supposed to do that. We have to get
I didn't care. I really didn't care. Oh, they called everybody and their brother.
Oh.
And I gave myself a lovely shower, but I didn't go in the shower because I was afraid to really hurt myself. I just took their wheelchair, and I had a basin, a large, large basin, and I poured all the water on top of me and the wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
And my wheelchair was on the side. This bathroom was huge, so I could do this. And this room was huge, so I was happy.
Right.
You know, it was a private room, and I was really happy. So I just, you know, poured this all over me. It felt so good. I mean, there was nothing like taking a shower. Imagine not taking a shower or washing your hair for 2 weeks. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine.
I sat there and just kept, for a while, I just sat there and kept pouring water on myself.
Yeah, you're in a state of euphoria.
Yes,
they think, they think that those.
There was warm water. I was like, ooh. Yes,
unbelievable,
a little more.
Right?
Ooh, yes, a little more.
like something you've never had before.
When it came in, there was a flood. I said, oh, I don't know how that happened.
And they, wow. And they, you know, I know you are. I'm a bad boy too. But you want to know what? They act like, you know, you're doing something wrong, or, you know, you're not supposed to do that. But isn't it funny? isn't it funny how the only time they want to help
well,
you...
Well, I got a shower after
they,
that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because they figured you're too rambunctious. They can't take a risk with you if you don't get
no,
a shower.
Put,
you're going
to... little bell. Oh, here's the funny part. They put... I all of a sudden, I went to sleep morning. My wheelchair was taken away from me. My own wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And their wheelchair for me was taken away from me.
That's how they thought they were going to stop you.
Oh, they didn't stop me. Because if I needed to, I would have transferred to the floor and, you know, done what I wanted to and scooted all the way. Exactly. I would have scooted all the way over to the other wheelchair. I wouldn't have given a poop. Anyway, you know me. I'm feisty. Anyway.
That's the way I see it.
And I don't take no for an answer. So
I know you don't.
Don't do that to me. Thought I'm crazy.
That's
anyway.
Right.
I know I'm crazy anyway.
Have you ever been in a facility, and like in a hospital or in a nursing home? I've never been in nursing before, but I've been in a hospital, and I can't believe how petty they are over silly things. They complain about when a person is in the hospital too long that, you know, they're needing too many toothbrushes or that, you know, that bottle of soap that they give you. I said,
oh, yeah, that happened to me.
With all the money they make.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I went to get some things that I can't always find, right? And the nurse went to give it to me, and I put it in my bag like she wanted me to, right? And it was like this special cloth that prevents sores, right? And I can't find it unless I order it and have it shipped and blah, blah, blah. And I told her, do you mind, you know? So she said to me, no, I don't. And basically she said, okay. She gave me like 3 rolls of it. Now, that wasn't that pricey. It was maybe like one on the outside, maybe like $25 each. 3 rolls, $75, big deal. How much they charge me on my bill? Please. So she gave that to me. But they all had a conniption. They wanted to know why I was taking it. They had to have a doctor's script. Oh, for God's sakes, I gave it back. I was not going to go through that. Yeah.
I had a nurse's aide. It's happened to me more than once. They go in the bag, you know, to see if you have anything that, you know, belongs to them. I mean, it is technically theirs, but I kind of look at it as like when you go to the hotel. I mean, you know, they don't say anything about you taking the little bottles of shampoo.
Yeah, that's
what
I'm saying.
Yeah, of course, you know.
But if your
because
doctor
of,
ordered it, here's what I say. If your doctor ordered it when you're in the hospital okay, if they've given it to you while you're in the hospital and they give you, like, some when you're in the hospital, I can't see why they wouldn't want to give you the stuff that you need so when you go home, you don't have to go to the store or order this stupid stuff when you go home.
They don't care about you.
Me.
That's why when you're discharged from the hospital, they could care less
they want
what
you to
happens
struggle.
To you.
They could care less.
And the best time to get the services that you need, like a home health aide and things like that, is to try to get the social worker to get it for you before you get out of the hospital, because the insurances figure that that's your time of, you know, most critical need. Other than that, once you're home, they start to give you hell again because, you know, you return to normal society like the rest of us.
Normal
where you
society.
Get treated.
What is normal society? Sorry.
You know, where you're not in a facility.
But they're, I'm like, what is normal society?
Yeah.
It's kind of funny,
I mean,
too.
What,
'cause they don't
what they consider
help.
Normal. But, you
right,
know,
right.
You I bet you if you ask a person who is not disabled, what is, you know, a normal life supposed to be for a disabled person, you know, could you honestly say that you would be happy living like that? You know, how would you feel if you were? And all they do is shake their head and,
you know,
oh, maybe
I
put on a sad face.
I don't know how I would deal with that. Oh, you're so courageous. I get that. I hate that.
Yeah.
What is
but
courageous about being normal? About being disabled? What is courageous?
I
don't see courageous.
They're taught that, you know, we are climbing obstacles, I guess. And, you know, we've had so many surgeries and things like that, which, you know, may or may not have benefited us, or we might not have wanted to go through, or we were in pain and had to have surgery, or our parents forced us to. I personally wouldn't have had all the surgeries that I did when I was a child, because I feel like, you know, they're cutting you up as a piece of meat. And, you know, I mean, you know, you're not having a normal life as a child, and you're always going to be disabled. And I think part of, you know, part of your circumstances in life, you know, you should accept
deal with that.
You know, you're going to have to deal with that. And, you know, not you know, part of giving a child a normal life.
I might have not been as young as you when I became disabled, but I started, it was really strange, around, oh God, I'm going to say with bladder issues in third grade, and that should have been a hint. And nobody knew why.
I know a lot of disabled people that have, you wouldn't call it incontinency, but they have, you know, bladder control problems of not being able to hold it in, and I don't know why that is, and you know, even before they start walking, they feel like they have to, you know, go away and things
mine
like that.
Mine is just plain neurogenic bladder. It's just, that's what it is. You know, and it's really sad. It's the bladder not being innervated. Simple.
Yeah,
you know?
and they don't, you know, it's a shame, too, that a lot of people's insurances can't pay for, don't pay for pull-ups, and people can't afford to pay them on their own. I mean, you could get them out of a catalog, you know, but they're expensive.
Yeah, but they're pricey. Hello. I'm getting them through Medicaid, but they're very pricey. Oh, my God, this whole thing is pricey. The world
hundreds
is pricey.
Of dollars, and it, and it looks
pricey.
Like, you know, the larger the pull-up is, you know, the more
pricier.
Expensive it is. And, you know, they all claim to keep you drier for longer, but who knows?
Oh, please.
I mean, if you guys want a good catalog that has, you know, products in it for people with disabilities, that has, like, you know, they have this thing that you can attach to your wheelchair, to the sides of your wheelchairs, that you know, distributes the weight equally, and it can hold up to 250 pounds, and you can pull yourself back easier, and it has, you know, bags for the wheelchair, disposable gloves, you know, all different sorts of things that's related to, you know, people with disabilities. You know, they have a large print dictionary. There's a catalog called there's a catalog called Easy Comforts. The web address is www.easycomforts.com. Suzanne, if you want, I'm not in front of a computer or my mom's phone right now to look it up, but if you want to look up their phone number, they're a great resource. They have a Easy Comforts catalog. They're a great resource if you need a handicap like plate, you know, where you can put your placard to show that, you know, you need the parking, you know, the handicap parking spots and stuff like that. And, you know, they have everything you could need or want.
Easy Comforts is coming up, so don't worry. It's really easy.
Yeah.
No.
It is really easy.
A little facetious there. Now let me look here.
But the sad thing, Suzanne, is that it's the only thing easy in our life is, you know, that catalog. But we have to pay for all of these things on our own.
On
the private market. And we're not getting reimbursed for any of it.
No.
And it's a real shame.
Oh,
and
that's nice.
You know,
I need one of those. I was just looking at something that I need.
What is that?
My stupid... Oh, it's really horrible. My stupid commode that goes on top of the toilet. is my part.
Oh,
and it's
boy.
Something so simple. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah.
It's a lot.
That.
And it's not looking as, like, how would I say it, institutionalized. I like that.
Yeah. It
That's
looks
pretty cool.
More
it
like
better.
Something that would fit in a home, right?
Right, right. It looks more like normal stuff. All right, let me give a number for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and my eyes aren't that good, and it looks good. It says need help, and it has the phone number. Is that where I'm giving it?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. 1-855-202-7391.
That's it, guys. Give them a call.
Yeah.
You know, if you want something, check out their web address. It's a shame that we're forced to pay for all these things out of our little SSI check that only lasts us about, 3 weeks out of the month, if we're lucky. And then
3 weeks? 3 weeks? How about a day?
A day.
Day. Not even.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, it's already allotted, and then boo, everything pulls out.
Yeah, that's it for this event, and then it's gone, you know. And then we live in a third world, like we live in a third world country in Africa.
You do. We live worse than a third world country at times.
Maybe we
really?
Should sit at the table with a big plate, you know, and a big plate of beans. You know, and distribute it amongst all our family members. You know.
I'm looking
you know,
at this stuff, and it's really cheap. Compared
yeah, it
to
is.
Some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, see, now I can't wear that. I just was looking at something that I wanted to get, but it's not my size.
Uh-huh.
But that looks good. I need slippers.
Yeah.
Something
they,
as simple
yeah,
as slippers.
They have. Yeah, and they have these toenail clippers for people that can't reach their feet. You know, they have
that problem too.
this like foam for people that can't, you know, shower. They have like wipes. You know,
to
if you're gonna help somebody,
wash
in the bed and everything. It's it's a nice catalog. You know,
it is.
It's more than these
these
agents.
Like, how would you say it? It's not. Overpriced, it's moderately priced. If I'm gonna look at something, you know, this will help you live comfortably at home, I'd say. You know, at least.
Yeah. Because
we gotta also hit our other sponsors, so let's try that and let me see if there's anybody holding for us while we hit some of the sponsors.
Okay.
All right, and I'll do that. You want to take some of the sponsors? Well, I. Take a look. No, we don't have anybody. So let me do Able while we think of the others. Okay. Able is the newspaper for, by, and about the disabled. It has served the disabled community for the past 28 years with all the news that pertains to people with disabilities. It has a calendar of events, columns written by various experts, and a variety of informative articles in a large type format. The input of the disabled person is a priority. Able also has a personals page that boasts two marriages, a classified section to buy and sell items, and various informative ads by different vendors. Able is now online. Visit ablenews.com and sign up for your free subscription today. Back to us. All right.
Yes.
Now, yes. Okay. We're going to do a little bit of the other people. No phone numbers like Frank does. So.
I don't
We're
know phone numbers either, but I
know
I know
stuff.
The sponsors.
So do I.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with Big East Akita Rescue. Okay. You could actually look them up on BigEastAkitaRescue.net. I'm not sure. Hold on, let me look that up.
I thought it was
let me
org.
Find the number while I'm there. Org, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I had a look at that. Yeah, you're right. Yep, Big East Akita Rescue.org. Okay, and they have a 609 phone number.
388-7929.
I think so. Oh, you looked it up?
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, okay. You remember that one?
Yeah. And how about James Bahamundi?
Okay, you'll do that one.
I don't know his number either, but I know
you can
that
just
one.
Do
and then
the ad. Yeah.
Oh, what did you guys say in the ad?
Oh, come on,
I know
you can
that
do
he's
it.
An ADA lawyer. Oh,
yes, yes.
Frank,
keep going,
where
keep
are
going.
You?
Where are you, Frank? What I need you now.
Oh, where I need you. I just close my eyes and I can't sing. And my voice sounds so nasally. It should be Friday night on the Follies.
You can't be as sometimes as bad as Love Jobs, so.
Oh, I
so,
know.
He
I almost sound like
really.
Ian Bunker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, James Bahamundi is an ADA lawyer that specializes in anything ADA related, and if you guys are having problems with, you know, places of public accommodations that should be accessible that are not, you can give him a call, and he will, you know, try and mediate the issue between them and, you know, proceed with a lawsuit if necessary. There's also that restaurant that did the event
yes,
for
that
Joe.
Yes, we went to for, yes, I know exactly which one. It's the, oh, God, what's the tavern? I got to remember the name.
Tavern on the
now.
Green? No.
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 You wish, right? Hold on, let me
yeah.
look. It's, oh, God, it's in Massapequa. Oh, let me look. If they helped us with, you know, with Joe's, you know, they did a little memory thing for Joe.
Baccaro's Italian.
Baccaro's,
tavern.
There we go.
That's
yay.
It. Yay. Where's
oh
my birthday
God.
Cake?
We work
and my
together
birthday hat.
Good. It's funny.
Yes, we do. I want some birthday cake on my nose like a baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, Baccaro's, they had the really, really good Italian food. When we went there, they really did very well with, you know, honoring Joe. And I really did appreciate, you know, them honoring Joe in the way that they did. I mean, they offered.
Delicious food. Appetizers, very kind
yeah.
people.
And they have
very
eggplant
nice establishment.
Meeples. Go there and get their eggplant meeples. They're good, actually.
Well lit, beautiful place. I saw their
yes.
food on the website. The menu is delicious. The pictures are absolutely
yes.
scrumptious. It'll make you want to climb through the screen and eat it. And,
yes. And I tasted
about,
it. It was good.
I can only imagine. It was a taste of heaven. And
yeah.
How about no, Nobody Starves?
We'll take you there for your birthday, no?
Okay. Sounds good.
as long as you take me there for mine.
Sure, no problem. Remember that song,
not
I'll Take You There? No.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I
Lovey Jobs
take
wanted
you
to speak. Do we want to, like, see if we can just let him in and then we'll do the rest of the ads?
Sure, yeah. I'll only take you to accessible places. If not,
oh, that's accessible.
I know they're all every place that Frank deals with is accessible. He, you know, would.
It was a little tight going it towards the bathrooms, but I think you could get in them. It was just tight.
Yeah. Sometimes the way it's built is like a narrow, you know, tight space.
Yeah, hallway.
Sometimes
yeah.
because of the wheelchair, like, you know, because of the tables and everything. But they do the best they can. At least they try. Not like some of these places, they don't have any accommodation at all. You have to get in through the
I
back
know.
Door. And, you know,
it's
like being segregated. I mean, it's like
yeah,
making
it
order from a.
Being segregated?
Yeah.
I remember
yeah.
buying stuff outside the door. How segregated is that? Buying pants
yeah.
for myself.
Yeah.
From a fancy place and having to sit outside the door. And then
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. What if you were going there for the first time and you didn't know and you're dressed, you know, really nice to go into this nice establishment? You know, God forbid it was your wedding night or something. That would be an excellent news story to call the news on them
oh,
and complain
do you know,
about.
I was, but I couldn't because it wasn't the ADA around the time that I was disabled. Wasn't
what
around.
A life. What a life.
So
can you imagine?
Outside. Yeah. Sitting outside. Never forget.
So yeah. I mean, Yeah, I mean, so everyone else went in, but because you were in a wheelchair, you had to sit out in the cold.
Yeah. Finally, the owner got the ability to get me in on the first floor, right through the front.
Oh.
He actually got a permit to make just the front and the top floor accessible.
At least he did something.
And then he eventually got a permit to get the elevator for the downstairs level. But that was like 2 years later.
What a modern piece of... Yeah, what a modern piece of equipment, of machinery. An elevator. Can you believe it? Wow, that's something. I mean,
we have
loved
wanting to hear us, so I'm gonna just say hi to him for a little bit. He's a little early for tomorrow's show, but I'm just gonna say hi. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Hey, Louis, how you doing?
Hello, good evening. This is Louis Rivera.
Good evening. How you doing? Anthony and I are doing the show tonight, and we are talking about mental illness and how it affects the disabled. And sometimes people can be sad or, you know, and not happy because they're disabled. Do you know of anybody, or have you ever been unhappy because...
No, I never. I always happy, not unhappy.
Oh, that's good.
Well,
do you know anybody who is unhappy?
No, just not. I never been unhappy all my life. I just, I'm the happiest guy in the world.
Oh,
that's great. Now.
Suzanne, what are you talking to a friend of yours?
No, I'm with. Anthony, you know Anthony. He's doing co-hosting with me.
Yeah.
Oh, where's my buddy Frank Perino?
He is with Olga Murray this evening.
Yeah.
So
yes,
he has something for Inner Sight.
And you know, I'm surprised. I'm very happy he's on at 8:30 on Wednesday night on Public Access 2020.
I know. Oh, well, thank you for doing that little segment for me.
Okay, anytime, Suzanne.
Yes, 8:30, and then Wednesday, actually, is in the fight night, and it's 8:30.
Yeah, how about that?
Suzanne,
what's that guy's name, Suzanne?
His name is Anthony. He's on with
Hello,
me right
Anthony.
Now.
This is Louis Rivera. I'm a friend of Frank Perino from Inner Sight on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey,
and Friday
Louis,
night.
He's on all the time.
Yes, I know who you are. I hear you on every Friday night.
I put on Blog Talk Radio doing the fraud
and
fraudics. Right?
I know.
And also, I was listening to your friendly philosopher. The Honeymooners, Saffron's Son, and Lauren Hardy.
Well, thank you for helping me with that, too. Man, I don't have to do any of that.
We're glad to hear that you don't know anyone who drinks too much sangria over being
drunk. Yeah. Any play, I play it with ice and an ice wine glass.
Oh, yeah. I know Senior wouldn't let you get too drunk.
Do you ever chew on ice, Louis?
I chew on ice. Don't hurt your gums, hurt your teeth.
Yeah, they say that's bad for your teeth.
But see, you know what that's a sign of? They call it pica because it is a sign of anemia. And I used to do it all the time.
I think they said diabetes.
Oh, my God, I used to love it. I still do. If I get any ice, I'll just crunch on it, and I'll eat it all up.
I thought they said diabetics do that, too. But you want to know what? They said that gum can cause diabetes, too, I suppose, you know, if you eat too much of it. But I don't know.
Gum is also anemia, for anemia, too. I used to chew a lot of gum, and I used to eat a lot of ice. And my doctor said to me once, I have a question for you. are you doing blah, 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 blah. And he listed a whole bunch of stuff, eating dirt, eating inanimate objects. I'm like, no, no. And then he said, ice. I said, yeah, I eat ice a lot. And then he said, gum. And I said, holy, yeah. And he goes, oh, well, that makes sense now. You're not very badly iron anemic. And that's how the whole conversation started.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's a good thing that, you know, you got into that conversation and he asked you about that and you told the truth.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah,
like
you
some
to.
People. Yeah.
Don't.
Some people
they're
won't admit that they.
By the doctor sometimes.
Yeah. Some,
and that's
some
really
people,
sad.
Yeah. That some people are so afraid that, you know, they might have to stay in the doctor's office longer and they might give them a medication or prescription for something. You'll learn something you didn't want to know. You'll find out something. Oh, my God, they're going to take an x-ray.
Yeah.
Might send you to the emergency room.
Right?
And that raises people's blood pressure on its own, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Even before you get
there. I remember having
to
drive there and it raised my blood pressure when I had my eyesight. That raised my blood pressure.
Because
Louis,
people
we're gonna
get
have
hyper.
To move on. Can you call back on Friday?
Yeah, Frank's gonna be at the Follies tomorrow.
Yes, he will.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Oh, this is your friendly philosopher speaking.
That's right.
On the phone.
That's right.
Hey, glad you
called
me, Susanna. Love that.
Oh, I can't do that. I have a hubby.
No. On the Blog Talk Radio.
Oh no, you can call in.
Oh no, you call me and then I press now in the whole skew and then I got your right caller.
Yeah, that's right. I put you in. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. You just call me like that on Friday whenever you want to, but make sure it's not 5 minutes before the end of the show.
Okay. I'll call the Blog Talk Radio. I got your phone number. I'll call the Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Yeah. You just call out her name and she'll come running wherever you are to see you again.
Okay.
Yeah,
hey, guys, Suzanne, you're the best. I love you very much. Aw,
thank you. We all love
you. We love
you
too,
Louise. Yeah.
Okay, you take care. Thank
all
you.
Right, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. We honestly love you.
I'll
right,
call you
bye-bye.
Tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Yes, please do. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. So we got to do more advertisements or they'll just throw us off air.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. Yeah. It's not good. All right, so.
Imagine if they cancel our show.
Yeah, right.
Frank will kill me.
So,
send the mafia after me.
You want to continue some of them?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
So what we have to do? The
I'll help
the,
you.
Nobody
them.
Starves.
Yep. Nobody Starves on Long Island. That's Gary. He is the best. I swear this guy is awesome. I do actually know his number.
You
it's
do?
631. Yes. 484-3085. That's Gary.
Wow.
Nobody Starves on Long Island, and he is the best. He will help you with, if you really, you know, financially strapped, you know, up to a certain extent, he will help you with, you know, food for your animal, your dog or your cat, even a service dog. He'll help you with that. He'll also help you with the medical. Like I said, up to a certain extent, and he'll even help you fundraise for that as well. He took a picture of my two pets, and he was able to get, you know, the all of that helped. Now they went up to the Rainbow Bridge, unfortunately, and I'm going to be getting not a pet but a service animal.
Isn't that sad? Well, I'm glad that you are, even though that agency didn't want to give you one. But you know, Susanna is a very bright, articulate woman. And, you know, she knows the numbers, and she knows how to advocate for herself, and she's very tough.
Thank you.
And, you know, she stands up for herself, and she believes in what we do, but she shouldn't have to deal with what she does. And that's why when I'm doing this show, sometimes I'm speechless. I might stutter because
when I tell
I'm,
you about
I'm,
some stuff, some things I'm speechless about. Forget about it, even after experiencing it.
Yeah, I'm just like at a loss for words. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And if you're not strong-minded.
The best part, if I wasn't strong-minded, I think I would have gone to my grave already, honestly.
Really?
I would have just, you know, had so much stress that it would have brought me there. That's what would have happened.
Yeah.
Thank God. I'll tell you what the most stressful thing lately was, my mother going to see and hear what had gone on. Oh,
yeah.
That brought me to tears and to know that they would put me in front of adult protective services and telling me all of that. That was just
a disabled woman, you know, that couldn't take care of her mother. They were putting you under that amount of stress when it wasn't even like you were in a situation that you could take care of your mother
on
your own.
I could take care of her myself. Right.
Yeah.
Which is still mind-boggling. You know?
Yeah.
Why unnecessary stress on somebody?
Yeah, instead of getting her a home health aide. If you don't agree to put her there, we're going to put her there.
She didn't have enough hours.
Enough hours. Right. So she got put in a facility and she got railroaded. Like they wanted to do us all. Yeah. But they figure she was old and, you know, they didn't care and she was sickly and she couldn't stand up for herself. I know. But it mattered to us. But nothing matters to them because we're just part of their caseload and we're just a case number. And basically all APS is about is wanting to open and close cases, you know, and just, you know, keep the caseload flowing in so that they can keep their jobs. And, you know, because APS does nothing. We all know that. And, you know, workers are just there because they need jobs. So, you know, they could care less who lives in what kind of condition. And, you know, if you die, then you just die. And, you know, they're there from 9 to 5 and there's no emergency number to help. And whatever is whatever. And, you know, well, as I've always said, que sera, sera.
Yeah, exactly. It's so terrible.
Yeah, they could care less. It's all about it's all about just looking good and being acknowledged.
It's all about
and,
money.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
Money. That's all it is.
Yeah,
but
I really think everything is a business. For real.
Yeah, it's all a business.
And people said to me, "How do you always think that? Why do you always think?" I said, "I do." Because I saw what happened all around.
Yeah, it irritates people. It makes people's blood boil. It gets under their skin.
Yeah.
People don't want to hear
blood
that.
Blood boil.
Yeah, they want to act like you know, we live these lives that everything is handed to us and we're catered to and, you know, we're well taken care of by everyone in society and everyone cares about us and everyone's caring and compassionate and, you know, that's a bunch of bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
And they're living in a fairy tale world, you know. But they'll just continue to make excuses that all we do is just complain and, oh, why don't they get over it? They're disabled. What do they expect? They're going to need help all their lives, you know, from others and da-da-da.
Yeah.
You know. I get so tired.
We're going to have to close the show soon. Oh, my God, I can't believe.
Oh, there's one other thing. We had so much fun tonight, even though I started like hell.
Yeah,
and, you know, and, yeah. And
90
I think
seconds.
We...
Hurry up.
Okay, Frank Perino's number, if you need to call him off the show, is 631-224-3090. 631-224-3090. And innersight at pmpmail.com. Call us or email us if you need our help. Please donate to us. We need all the money we can get. We are poor, broke, and, well, hungry. And thanks for listening. We've
all right,
enjoyed...
thank you.
We've enjoyed
all right,
serving
enjoy.
You tonight. You guys take care.
Okay. Innersight.
Thanks for listening.
Yes. Innersight means Freedom Advocates for the Disabled. That was, you know, Joseph Farian's favorite. You know, he created that saying, and it holds true. And good night, everyone. We will see you tomorrow on the Friday Night Follies. And good night, world. Innersight. And we'll see
you
soon.
Be here at B Square. Bye-bye.
That's
good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.